Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at the School of Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin, has been looking at the rise and rise of the Chinese robot. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
They're there in massive quantities, aren't they?
Well, it was always predicted, wasn't it? Science fiction predicted this for decades, but now it's becoming more of a reality. And the big thing, Pat, was on February 16th on Chinese television, they demoed very elaborate robots, humanoid robots. There was dancing robots, there was ones doing comedy skits, ones doing martial arts. And you think they were humans, they had helmets on, right? So you wouldn't have thought they were robots, they were so lifelike. It was incredible. And last night when I heard, dancers are frightened. These could replace dancers. Because the dancing is very accurate. So they're saying, would Riverdance eventually be a lineup of robots, basically? And you wouldn't tell the difference, you know?
But I suppose our sense of wonder at the river dancers is that they're human and they can do it. I mean, we wouldn't be wondering at all. It's like when you see a CGI movie.
Yeah, you know, people see real human beings.
He's not really doing that, is he? No, he's not. He's not hanging out of that chopper.
That's right.
It's all CGI. Yeah. So anyway, how do they steal a march on the world in robotics?
Well, it's a worry, Pat, for Europe and America, this, because they're so far ahead, they reckon now. And I came across this in The Economist, actually. So they're well ahead of the rest of the world, the Chinese. And the question is why. One is electric vehicles. They invested massively in EV technology. Remember Build Your Dream, that vehicle. They are well ahead on electric vehicles. Now, they're very elaborate machines as well, remember. So the Chinese learnt from building EVs, and they're applying that technology more and more now into these humanoid robots. That's one big reason for the advance.
So what are the skill sets that robots now have?
Yeah, the goal is, to replace the 3Ds, Pat. So robots should replace stuff that's dull or dangerous. There are two key aspects of this, you know, and that's done, or dirty. They're the 3Ds, right? So robots will clean, they'll do the boring, repetitive tasks, they'll do dangerous things, you know, and replace humans. So that's the ultimate goal of this, I think.
And of course, the Chinese, with their one-child policy, which has now been abandoned, have really a shortage of people who might do the caring jobs for the older generation.
They do. And the ageing population is the big one. And a second demo, Pat, a week later on Chinese television, the Minister for Industry was on this, right? And they demoed a very elaborate robot fixing these very dangerous high-voltage cables. Now, that's a very finickety thing to do.
Sure.
And here was a humanoid robot fixing these very complicated things, and that was demoed as well.
Not worried about an electric shock.
No, exactly. And in fact, the minister said, you like this, he said, while Europe and the US are going to war, we're inventing the future, was what the minister said on Chinese.
What's this line about, if you visit China today, it'd be like visiting Europe in 2050. They're so far ahead.
Yeah, so the Americans have gone into some of these Chinese cities to look at the competition. And one expert on robots said they're effectively living in the year 2050. So in other words, the Chinese have invented the future. Now, what he means by that is, Pat, there's loads of robo-taxis going around the streets. There's delivery vans that are robotic there. And now the care homes have robots in them already. So this guy said, look, hang on a minute. The Chinese have invented the future, and we should head in the same direction.
Now, we know that the stereotype of the Chinese person is that they are obeying of the law, they're disciplined. I'm just wondering about the robo-taxi, you know, on a Saturday night in Wicklow Street in Dublin.
It could be a bit different.
Be more challenging.
Be slightly more challenging, yeah. But that robo-taxi thing, but it's in America, Waymo anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw one prediction within a year. This is the time they're giving. Many cities will have robo-taxis going around the city centre. You know, you'll jump into one, it'll take you somewhere, you know, and that'll become even more of a reality.
But then you're missing the vital ingredient for me, a taxi ride last night. I was talking to a man who told me that his father had been kidnapped.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and I'm going to look it up and actually find out that story. This was years and years ago, during the early days of the Troubles. Another, last week, a taxi driver from Iran educated me on how things are in Iran and what ordinary people feel.
Right.
So the robot's not going to do that for me.
No, it won't. That's true. You can't have a conversation with them, I suppose.
Oh, I suppose they could program that in as as well.
They may be able to, yeah.
Yeah. Now, tell me some of the examples of robots that they have now developed and are available to buy.
Yeah, well, one is, Pat, they're talking about dark factories. It's a strange phrase, this. There'll be factories full of robots doing all the tasks, and they'll be in the dark because you don't need to put the lights on if it's a robot, right?
Okay.
And there's one robot. It's called UbiTech Walker S2, right? And that's a factory robot. It can do manufacturing. It can do repetitive tasks. But the big thing about that, Pat, is it can charge itself. So wow. It can plug itself into electric mains, if you know, and then charge itself. Secondly, it can go and replace its own battery. Isn't that amazing? So what you have now is humans won't be needed. You'll build a factory.
And you don't even have to switch on the lights because they don't need lights.
And they'll keep charging themselves, you see, and they'll keep working all the time. So this self-charging idea is gaining traction. And also, when they move, of course, there's a servo mechanism that allows them to charge up as they move. So you may well have robots that won't need to, you know, we won't need to maintain them in terms of battery power either.
Now, what's Sandbot?
Yeah, the thing is, as we just said, that's a hype around it. Now, we do have things like Roombas doing hoovering, don't we, Pat, already?
Yeah.
This is a vacuum cleaning humanoid robot. So it looks like a human, remember? They're called humanoids because they look like humans. It'll do the vacuum cleaning for you. Cleaning in general, right? It's a cleaning robot, humanoid robot, basically, right? And then the second thing it does, Pat, is it can restock things. So it could restock your fridge. So a robot will deliver your food to your house, right? The robot inside your house will pick up the food and stick it in the cupboards and in the fridges, you know? So it's called a restocking robot.
And you can see in supermarkets where some of the lower paid jobs are people stacking the shelves. And already Amazon have things like this. They do the picking and so on automatically using robots. The old robot, which will be on wheels, will just trundle into the storeroom, pick out the jam, bring the jam, put it in precisely the right place.
That's it, exactly.
And that's not too far.
That's robotic. Amazon factories are robotized in a way. But remember, these are humanoid robots. They look like human beings. They're walking around while they're doing this. So slightly more like humans, I guess.
Now, the Zerith H1, which is a hospitality assistant.
Yeah, now that's the next thing. And have you checked into any hotels recently, Pat? There will be kind of I was in London recently, and it was effectively a robot was behind the reception. Now, it was a machine with a face on it. And I checked in, gave my credit card or whatever, and my room key came out of the thing, and I went to my room. I didn't engage with a human at all, right?
Okay.
So we're seeing more and more robots being used in hospitality in various ways. And then secondly, it began talking to me and telling me what was in the hotel and when the bar was open. But this kind of thing, you know. No, I didn't like it. I don't know about you. I prefer to talk to a human,
but
it's very efficient, you know.
Yeah, but if you have a humanoid that looks like a human and you're talking to them behind the counter of reception, would that be any better, I wonder?
That's the idea, in a sense. You know on the Stig, Pat? Remember the Stig, the famous Stig with the helmet on?
We never saw his face.
No, they're like that. They're wearing helmets and they might have eyes, but you can't tell they're a robot, basically.
Now, the AGI bot products, industrial and service robots.
Yeah.
Now, what are they doing?
So, again, Pat, the Chinese are so far ahead. So, the Chinese have 50% of all the robots in the world working in factories. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So many factories now in China have these robots. They've 70% of the humanoid robots. That one was invented to tighten bolts. That was its first job.
Okay.
Now, tightening bolts is quite complicated. It turns out there's different bolts on the machine. And that got more and more elaborate, right? So this is a robot that can manufacture much more than, say, in a car factory. It's much more clever than that. You know?
I mean,
it's humanoid. It looks like a human being.
I went to the BMW factory in Mexico last year and I saw the robots at work. And it was quite extraordinary. A forest, very few people knocking around and all the little wells being done. And all seeming to be operating independently, but they were all doing their own specific tasks.
Yeah, that's
amazing
right.
to see.
And the coordination is remarkable. And the big one, Pat, that we discussed earlier is the drones in the sky. You know when you see an exhibition in the sky? The Chinese invented fireworks, remember, 2,000 years ago. They've now invented these sky drones. So if you go to a festival, remember in London, as you mentioned, there's fantastic drones in the skies. Yeah. You know, it's that kind of technology, because that's very complicated. Where is each drone? It's all coordinated in a very elaborate way.
Presumably AI is doing all the heavy
lifting.
It's
all AI. Yeah, you program it in, send up the drones, and they'll do whatever it is, you know. Mm. And I saw something this morning, but there should be a St. Patrick drone in the sky over Dublin, really, you know, driving out the snakes with drones running away from it. That's possible to do now.
Yeah.
So the future of fireworks is turning into drone displays.
So is all of this good news or bad news?
Well, there's always goods and bads. The thing is, will they take over the world? But it's a big worry that we have. It has to be good, hasn't it? Because it will replace
the
awful
3Ds.
Jobs, the humans don't want to do. That's the first thing, you know.
Dirty, dangerous and dull.
Yeah, and hopefully the price of goods will come down, will it, Pat? Because it's cheaper to have a factory full of robots than a factory full of humans who are complaining all the time and going on strike. That's the idea.
Luke O'Neill, a professor of biochemistry at the School of Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.